Our sermon text this morning, the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 7. I kept watching the night visions, and there in the clouds of heaven I saw one like a son of man coming. He came to the Ancient of Days, and he was brought before him. To him was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. All peoples, nations, and languages will worship him. His dominion is an eternal dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. This is the word of God. Please join me in prayer. Our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the sevenfold spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Friends in Jesus, who wants a king anymore? You know, you can go and count all the monarchies in the world. There aren't a whole lot. 26 monarchies. And most of them are something like a constitutional monarchy or really just a figurehead. Monarchies are sort of a dying beast. There are very few anymore. And yet, what did we just sing? It's crown him. We seem to want a king based on our songs. The Bible says there's going to be a king. And so now as we look to the future, that's what we look forward to? A king? We've seen monarchies fall probably because they were born into it. They weren't competent. Many of them didn't want it. Many of them were cruel, many of them were greedy, but today we ask God to be our king, the King of Kings. So how is it that we say this morning, crown him with many crowns? Well, I think you already know that the answer is pretty easy, and yet at the same time very complicated. The easy answer is, well, Jesus. Jesus is our king. Of course we want Jesus to be our king now and forever, just as we pray thy kingdom come. But we're also going to see in Daniel something very special and a reason to crown him with many crowns. And the first thing I'd like to talk about is crowning him over all titles. You learn a lot of interesting things in the book of Daniel. You've got Daniel chapter 1, where Daniel and his friends refuse to eat all of these unclean foods, and they prosper. We learn that Daniel interprets a vision of the Babylonian king. We learn that the three friends go through the fire and are unharmed. We learn later on in Daniel's life that he's tossed into a lion's den for praying to God three times a day, and that was the only reason. But later on, it's a little more complicated. There's sort of a mess, a swirl of visions in the book of Daniel. And it's even harder for someone trying to translate the Hebrew because it's Aramaic. It's a different language. But it's kind of close. And I was able to get through it. And I'm still not really sure how to envision this. That the title of all titles, the person in this vision that seems to be outside of space, outside of time, is this one like a son of man who comes with the clouds. You ever heard of that title before? Daniel was used to titles like satraps, prefects, treasurers, advisors. You and I are used to titles like representatives, senators, judges, governors, presidents. How about one like the Son of Man? Kind of an interesting title, sort of hints at his humanity. But there's actually much more that goes into this title. Because as he comes with the clouds and he approaches the Ancient of Days, we see that the Ancient of Days, we can only presume this is the Father from where all power comes, that the Son of Man is given many things. And the Father gives it to him. If we were to crown a king, I suppose it would make sense to look to the Lord of all time, to the one who's always been around, and to the one who will last forever and ever. So that there is no other title that we can possibly think of that is higher than the Son of Man. This is the title of titles. This is the best. He's on top. There's no other title that could possibly be better. Now, sometimes I think we treat other titles as more important. We might treat the title of rest and relaxation as more important. We might treat the title of time off of work as more important. We might treat his blessings as if they had greater titles than God himself and forget to be thankful and forget to acknowledge the King of Kings. Here's a specific application. Sometimes it's our own sons and daughters of men and women that get to rule the house, that get to determine the schedule, that are almost the authority of the home. I'm already feeling that temptation as baby Bodhi is on the way. Seems like a lot of things are already revolving around him. We're always looking for our children's wants, what the world tells us our children needs, but maybe that's in reverse order. Because the Son of Man is much more important, and this is a much greater title. In fact, there's someone who throughout the New Testament identifies himself as the Son of Man. And it sounds a little bit like this. Mark chapter 2. The Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Luke 9 verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. Matthew 11:19, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds. Or Matthew 26, Jesus on trial, he'd been silent the whole time, but the one thing that really gets him convicted before these Jewish priests and rabbis is this. From now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, and coming on the clouds of heaven. Jesus was identifying himself with what we just read in Daniel chapter 7. Much more than just a Son of Man, the Son of Man, who's given divine attributes, who's communicated the ability to calm the wind and the waves, to whom all authority in heaven and on earth has been given, Jesus Christ. And when we enthrone him in our households and in our family and in our lives more than anything else, when he takes the position that maybe our children or our rest and relaxation or our downtime has taken, then everything is in its proper place, isn't it? As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord because the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is in charge here. We also can crown him over all tongues. In the vision of Daniel, as it progresses, we see that all nations, all tribes, and all tongues are there to worship him. Why should they do that? Well, a little bit more about the Son of Man. He's gone on a rescue mission. He's won them back. He has died for their sins. He's been served up as if he had committed them himself, and been treated as the criminal that you and I truly are because of our sins. Of course we'd crown him over all tongues and all titles because he loves all people. And he's proved that in this way. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Luke chapter 19. Mark 2, Jesus says, I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. Matthew 17:22, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. Matthew 26:2, the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. And then when he was on the cross and the centurion, this Roman soldier who had no reason to bow the knee, when he saw him, he said, surely this was the Son of God. Because the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. He's done this to serve each people, each nation, and each tongue, because this king doesn't merely look out for his own power. He doesn't look out for his own way and his own wants. He looks out for every nation, every people, and every tongue. He looks out for you. He wants you to know who is king. He wants you to know that as this world hurtles 66 miles per hour around the sun into space, wherever that may be, that it's not like no one's in charge. There's someone who is in charge. He knows your language. He knows just how to forgive you your sins, as he did this morning, and as he continues to do in our lives of repentance. Oh, what the Son of Man can do for those who crown him. Now, what if I haven't crowned him? What if I haven't treated the Son of Man like the king? What if I haven't enthroned him in my household and in my heart? This is what Jesus says. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. Confess your sins against the Son, and guess what? Just like that, your sins are forgiven. What about the next part of that verse? Anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Well, the Holy Spirit has gone out into the world, and you're a part of that world too. And the Holy Spirit has come into your heart and into your tongue to say Jesus is Lord. There's no other way to say it except by the Holy Spirit. And so now you have a chance to sing the hymns we've been singing. You have a chance to say, crown him. You have a chance to praise him and glorify God. And you have a chance to put the words of the Son of Man, King of Kings, on your tongue. What a privilege. What a blessing. What a thing to be thankful for. Because it comes with a promise where Jesus says, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. We crown him over all titles. We crown him over all tongues. We also crown him over all time. Those visions of Daniel were shrouded in so much mystery. And if you read it carefully and you compare it to the rest of Scripture, it doesn't take too long before you realize the Son of Man coming with clouds, this is something that happens outside of time, outside of space, outside of matter, something we can't really pinpoint because we know a world with national boundaries. We're bound by things like lines and spaces. People have tried to put the world together without the King of Kings, and it's never really worked. Nations have risen and have fallen. They've called themselves monarchies, constitutional republics. They've called themselves communists, socialists. And they'll come and they'll go. And as we're bound by time and space, the average human life is something like 27,000 days. And each one of those doesn't belong to the world's boundaries or the world's kings, the president of the United States or someone's ruler from afar or from long ago. Those days belong to our God. Our God whose life was in time. Our God who now, according to his human nature, is with us, who loves us, and who's prepared much greater things. He rules in our hearts now in his kingdom of grace. He directs all of his kingdom of power for his own sons and daughters, and he holds out a kingdom of glory for us to look ahead to. Our King of the future, our King who is to come, the next best thing, in fact, the last best thing. In the words of one of the greatest monarchs ever, Saint Louis of France, we might be able to join him in saying, better than my crown on this earth, the crown jewels of France, was the crown of three drops of water on my head in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because those three drops on the crown of our heads has made him king of our lives. Those promises continue and those promises last forever and ever. Thy kingdom come. Amen.